Welcome to the most unbiased, unfiltered podcast in Bulls Nation. Welcome to the Bulls Guy Podcast, and we are the Bulls Guys. I am K-Dub, and here's my co-host, Kotaka.
What's up, Bulls fans?
Tough loss, Kotaka, to the Pacers, division rival for us. Yeah. We're going to break down everything right after this. The Bulls Guys Podcast can now be heard and followed on all social media platforms. Follow us on YouTube, IG, Facebook, and Spotify. The Bulls Guys Podcast can now be heard and followed on all social media platforms. Follow us on YouTube, IG, Facebook, and Spotify.
10 of 14 or 10 of 15, because that's about what you're going to need if you wanted to at least get comfortably into that play-in game.
And our schedule's tough too coming. You know, we got a condensed schedule after we get, you know, some games there. So
yeah. How do you as a coach still hold on to hope that, yeah, there's still something left in the tank, there's still something we haven't seen from this group that's going to turn it around?
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything that I would say we haven't seen. I thought our guys really battled and competed and fought. You know, I love the way Kobe came in there and kind of gave us a spark and energy. You know, I think Zach was really aggressive in the first half and got going. You know, we've just got to shore up and clean up, you know, some of the things I think that we can control. And I think the thing that I would be, to your question, more discouraged about is if we were losing by 25, you know, or 15 or 18 night in and night out. I said, geez, we're not even like, you know, we've had, you know, a season last year where a lot of these games we won.
All right, back on the Bulls Guys Podcast. So Kotaka, the Bulls dropped one to the Pacers, 125-122. They competed in this game. I just listened to a bit of Billy Donovan's press conference. He's already on the podium. And I just don't like what I'm hearing from him. You know, we were in this game. If Haliburton misses a shot, you know, maybe we get it back and we can tie it up. Like, all of these things that I do not want to hear from my head coach, other than, you know, we should have found the way to get it done instead of making excuses. This is a team that is in the bottom echelon of the East. And a team that I don't feel like is on the same level as us. I have the same star power. And I don't expect Billy Donovan to make adjustments like that because he's not a defensive-minded coach. But you can't let their best shooter just get off a shot for the last shot. You know, you see when we had the opportunity to tie the game up, Indiana took Zach LaVine out of the play and forced Vooch to take the shot. So they know how to play defense, and they know how to take the main guy out of the main focus and get the last shot, but we don't know how to do it. I'm gonna let you have the floor now, brother.
Yeah, it was definitely bad game planning towards the stretch. Because, I mean, looking at the last 2 minutes, how after we done crawled back in, is that second chance shots, again, to still continue to plague us because – Buddy Hill had that easy just three, you know what I mean? Not getting the loose ball, just getting over screens, man. I mean, like you said, coaching, it's bad coaching. Mm-hmm. I would have let P. Will in the game at least. That's another guy that can shoot a three, you know. But, yeah, he just don't know how to use his lineups, man.
And they was putting us in a lot of switches. You know, there were times where DeMar DeRozan was on Turner to try to block him down low on that layup. And, you know, obviously Turner has the size advantage, so it wasn't even no point in trying. But, you know, I see the X's and O's when it comes to coaches coaching against us, but I don't see that from Billy. And Kobe came in and did a great job. Hustled really hard and showed that fire, not backing down. But I feel like we literally let Haliburton just take this game from us. And the Bulls can't let that happen. If a team's going to beat us, they're going to beat us. But you can't let one guy – I mean, he had 29 points and 11 assists tonight. So not only did he score, he got it done on the you know, moving the ball and getting his teammates involved. He's responsible for dishing out 11 assists to his teammates. 11 for 17 from the field, 6 for 9 from 3-point. Turner had 16 points, 8 for 13 mm-hmm. from the field. And, you know, the Pacers, listen, man, the Pacers is one of those teams, they're a division rival. We're never going to have an easy game against them. Just for us being who we are, they're going to come to play.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the stats. They got a nice team, man. I mean, they got scores. And the thing is, if they're young, they're scrappy. Mm-hmm. They know how pivotal this game is. Just like you said, it's a division rival. And mm-hmm. I'm wondering when our team is gonna have that same fire. Say, hey, this is a division rival team. Mm-hmm. You know, we're fighting for a play-in spot. We need to bring that intensity. But for some reason, man, I just don't see it on every single member of our team.
But did you see that stat that they put up there, the CSN Chicago crew? Indiana has beaten us. We've played them a total of 203 meetings during the regular season. I'm guessing mm-hmm. they included playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they've beaten us 100 times, and we've only beaten them 103 times. So we only have 3 more victories. So this is an evenly matched series between these two teams. But, I mean, for me, it don't just have nothing to do with just this game. It's the Suns game. It's, mm-hmm. You know, Vooch complaining about getting pointed at, something we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, which mm-hmm. is going to be one of our topics that we're going to discuss. And I also, when we start entering the show, I got to start like naming the topics that we're going to talk about to let our viewers up to date on what we're going to be talking about. But we're going to be talking about that in deep detail because I didn't like Vooch coming out and saying that, and I basically want him gone, but we'll get into that later. But the Bulls got to learn how to be more motivated and come out and punch teams in the mouth before they get punched in the mouth. I mean,
I agree.
You're fighting to get into the playoffs. I mean, it don't get no more evident than that. I mean, you got to do what you got to do to get in, man. And you don't want to be in a position to be fighting for no games to get in. And it looked like mm-hmm. that's where we're headed.
Yeah, it's gonna be a dog fight down to the, I feel, to the final game. Because with this, if we would have had a win, we would only been a half a game from Washington because Washington lost yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And, dude, I mean, I don't know what it's going to take to get this team rolling, man. They gotta have that killer instinct, man. But
uh-huh.
that's what happens when you have a young team and you got a bunch of guys who don't have – only one guy probably got a championship pedigree.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? And that's what happens. You have a team like that. Nobody really knows how to win it all on a professional level.
Uh-huh. Yeah, man. For me, I think that's exactly what it is. I mean, when you look down the line, you only have Caruso, mm-hmm. DeRozan, and Beverly that have played in meaningful playoff games and have battled in the Eastern Conference Finals and stuff of that nature, Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals, and things of that nature. So we only have like a few veteran leaders on this team. But for me, I just think it comes down to accountability and coaching, mainly coaching, because if I have a couple guys on the floor that's not doing what they're supposed to do, I'm pulling your number.
Yeah.
I'm pulling your number. You can be in your feelings all you want. You can get upset, but you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And the overall team success is more important than how you feel. And I feel like we get too much involved in that with these set of players, this group of players, and which is why I don't mind breaking up the team and sending some of these guys away, because they got to understand this is a business. You know, when your contract comes up, you don't want to slighten your contract. You want as much money as you can get. So when I put you out on the floor, you got to give me what I'm paying you for. So yeah, I really did not like Vooch coming out and saying what he said when he knows that he needs to play better. I've heard him in press conferences get on himself and say he needs to play better. And he knows it. So if you have a veteran guy telling you what to do and saying you're supposed to cut over, only thing I expect for you to say is, yeah, you're right. I got to do better. I'll do better. I'll improve that. I don't expect you to argue with the guy, you know what I'm saying, and try to get your way and say, oh, the finger pointing. That's what he's here to do. He's a veteran, bro. And he was telling you right. So what you trying to say, you didn't miss that cut? You didn't miss that defensive assignment? You didn't have a decent defensive breakdown? You did.
Exactly.
So I don't understand why you upset that somebody pointed something out on you that you weren't doing. I don't care who else is not doing what they're supposed to do. He was talking to you. And the only thing I was supposed to get from you was saying, oh, yeah, you know, I did screw up on that play, and I'm going to do better the next time. Exactly. But no.
You say, I agree with you.
You know what I'm saying? The only thing I wanted to hear from you was like, you know, that. But, you know, you got to create this whole drama about you don't like the finger pointing. You got the newspapers all in our business. And I was going to talk about this later, but I'm just so fired up about that, too, that I think I'm going to get into that topic now. I think I want Vooch going, bro. I didn't like that.
Like I told, like I mentioned before, Vooch been in this league for a while. So if he hasn't developed that defensive skill, because I read the same article, he even admitted that, say, yeah, you know, I do lack on the defensive end, and I understand that. And so if he's admitting that he lacks on the defensive end, why is he putting the team on blast, putting Patrick Beverly on blast? And I agree with you. I've been wanting him gone because if he's hasn't, at the age of 32, 33, been in the league for some years now, developed that defensive skill set, he's not going to learn it.
He's not.
He's not going to learn it. And I know the Bulls contemplating whether to give him a contract. Dude, that was a perfect prime example because I saw another article. He said that, you know, hey, I got another baby on the way. You know, I'm a want to resign with the team, but I'm also going to enjoy, you know, going into free agency because I have to look best about for my family. I'm like, why in the hell we didn't get rid of this dude by trade deadline? I would have got rid of him for damn near anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's like now you're gonna not get anything for me. Yeah, you're gonna have that 30 some million off the books. However, you could have got a player or two or three for him and some draft picks. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like bad decision overall from the top all the way down to the bottom. You know, and I don't trust AK.
I mean, for me, my biggest problem with this whole thing is that why would a team, the way we're playing right now, do I want to even make the playoffs? Or do I want a draft pick? I'd rather save myself the embarrassment and just go for a draft pick and let AK and them figure it out in the offseason.
Might as well, because you're not going to get anybody for Vooch. You might as well just tank, you know, and get whatever. Like you said, yeah, take a chance on getting a high draft pick.
My biggest fear, my Bulls brother, is that they're going to be satisfied with making the playoffs and not going to do nothing going the offseason, and that's not what I do not want to happen. Because I don't care if they are 8th, 7th, 6th, or even 5th seed. This team got a lot of issues, and there need to be changes.
You know, my biggest fear is them coming out in the offseason and still putting a small lineup and not addressing the bigs. I know this is a little bit off the topic, but why would you let Dragic go just to pick up a G Leaguer and get that final roster spot when you got two or three veteran bigs that are still out there after you done got out rebounded and not played by the Phoenix Suns? Why would you go get another guard? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it neither, bro. And then John Wall of all players, like, I definitely don't want him on this team, bro. And it seems like the reports are heating up from different various sources. The Washington Wizards is one of the teams that might try to go after him, and the Milwaukee Bucks, the Chicago Bulls, and the Phoenix Suns right behind all of those teams. I don't want him on this team. But listen, John Wall is a great player. He probably still could be effective, but he do not fit this ball club. He just does not. Like, you know, you have to put players where they fit. Patrick Beverley fit this team like a custom-made glove, bro.
Yeah.
He fits the grittiness and that Chicago has been missing.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I'm going to go on record right now. I hope they really resign this guy in the offseason.
I do, too. He'd be the only one I resign.
He has to come back, bro. He has to be back because I want that same focus and demeanor in that locker room. And the longer it's in that locker room, the better it is for Bulls fans.
I agree.
You know, because they're going to get it after a while. They're going to get tired of him talking to them, and they're going to go out there and do what they're supposed to do.
Him and Dalen Terry only ones I mean, it may sound like a stretch, but as of right now, they're the only ones that bring that spark plug, you know, because, I mean, Javonte, yeah, but we don't even know where his injury is. I mean, he's still out. I wouldn't bring back Caruso. I would trade Zach, send him to L.A. or New York, wherever the hell wants him. I would get as much as I can.
You said Zach?
Yeah, it's rumors that New York been wanting Zach and all this other stuff.
Nah. Look, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Since Pat has been here, honestly speaking, Zach has proven to me he deserved to stay.
So would you choose Zach over DeRozan?
Yes. I ain't even waste no time saying that. Yes, I would.
I see.
Okay. Here's the reason why. And a lot of people don't understand why. Despite how bad Zach has been in other games early in the season, he's still only like 25 or 26.
True.
DeRozan is in his 30s. How much good basketball does he have left? We don't know that. Nice. So you're going to give up on your future and ship Zach away, and DeRozan might look like a 30-year-old man by next year or 2 years later. Right. Now what do you do if Zach is on some other team dropping? Yo, he dropped 40 in the last, what, three games, I think. What, 30 or more in the last three games?
So if you were to get rid of – if you were to keep Zach, if somebody came to you and said, hey, I got somebody who can put up the same amount of points, just as young as Zach, but they also play D.
I would have to entertain that. At that point, I would have to entertain that because I do admit that Zach's defense has to be a lot better. But I mean, listen, it gotta be somebody awesome for me to trade Zach LaVine. I mean, so, if you talk about Pascal Siakam, I might be willing to talk to you.
So Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I'm throwing him. I'm trading him for Zach. I'm trading Zach.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And I believe he's younger than Zach too.
He is. He's a little younger, but yeah. Spark plug. Okay.
And he has a lot of dog in him.
Right.
But I just don't think players like Zach is the reason why we're losing, man. I think, you know, players like Vooch, players like, you know, Caruso, who's not bringing it in this. I'm surprised to even pull Caruso's name in there, but he hasn't been consistent, man. He's been a different player this year.
No injuries.
I don't know if it's the injuries that's holding him back, but he usually go harder.
Yeah, it's the injuries, man. Mm-hmm. But I did hear that – I did see another report that Cat, our boy Cat, might be available in the offseason.
Yo, I'm going to tell you what. If AK don't grab him, he's a damn fool.
That's Zach's boy. If Zach was going to stay, Zach better start recruiting.
I'm a go and get on a plane, buy a plane ticket to Chicago, and I'm going to go into the United Center and hunt AK down and literally grab him by his collar and pull him outside of the building and sock him. And then I'm going to go and get back on the plane and come back to Philly.
Right. You got to do it quick. You know, you're Chicago police.
Yeah, because listen, man, you can't pass on a player like Cat, man. I mean, he did it with Gobert and he did it with Durant. If he do it this time, after this team played the way they played this year, AK got to be drug tested.
He got to be
drug tested. Listen, dude, I understand you built this project, but you could tweak it a little bit. Nobody's saying change the whole thing. Just add some little pieces to make the project a little better.
Yeah, just give us a little size. Just give us a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. The same way like when your car breaks down and you need new sparks, so you need new this, you need new that, you need new wheels, you need alignment. You got a nice car, but your car just needs a little bit of work to it.
Exactly.
And it'll ride really, really great once you do the work. He don't want to do the work. He just want to keep riding on four flats and thinking it's going to perform better. It's just not.
Right.
Oh, all the pieces ain't bad, man, because listen, Patrick Beverley, that was a good move. Thank you, AK. Very much good move. But you still got to add some size.
Yes.
Instead of talking about John Wall, talk about getting a big man in here that actually blocks shots and defend and rebound.
Should I take an old, 35-plus veteran LaMarcus Aldridge? I'll be excited about that because that's a big man. who got a little bit. He can add a little bit of value. You know what I'm saying? Bring some of that that toughness, rebound, block shot, shoot a little mid range. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's something. We don't need to have all these, because Derrick Jones Jr. is not gonna cut it. I mean, yeah, he's a dude gets injured all the time. So you're not using. I mean, we don't need him. So you got rid of Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, I just can't understand some of the moves he made.
That was a blessing that we got rid of Bradley, though.
Yeah, but shit, who? If Drummond go down, who gonna be our backup center? God forbid.
Oh yeah, Drummond got to stay too.
Oh yeah, Drummond got it. I forgot about him. Yeah, he definitely got it. He gonna stay anyway. Well, he got one. It'll be his last year next year, but I hope they don't get rid of him.
Right, he got to stay, bro. He got to stay. See, here's the thing. You weeding out the problems. You're not weeding out who's doing what they're supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you what. Man, listen, Pat might be in that discussion, man. Pat.
Yeah, is keeper or out?
Out.
Yeah.
Depending on what I get back for him. Like, listen, I haven't been impressed with him this year, man. Nah. And if I could get another young player that's proven he has that dog in him and he ain't afraid. So even swap.
Yeah, we don't need any more projects. I agree with you there.
I don't got no time for somebody to be learning how to play, bro. We trying to win something, bro.
Right.
If he ain't learned by now, how long Pat been in the league?
This is his third year.
All right. He should be knowing what he's supposed to be doing by now, bro.
Yeah, people gonna say, well, you know, most of the year last year. You know, he was out with an injury. Nah, but still, the dude worked with DeRozan the whole damn summer.
Mm-hmm.
He should have been on fire. He should be the only one, really the main one on fire besides Zach. Come back from an injury, ready to, you know, do some damage. But he's still playing timid, you know, and it's I agree with you. He might be on the outs too.
See, this is why, like, we haven't been winning because, like, listen, I like Pat. But if I went with my feelings and say how much I like Pat and I traded based on that, we would never improve. Mm-hmm. We would never improve because despite if I like Pat or not, Pat hasn't been doing what he's supposed to do. And it's the same situation when we traded Wendell away and then he's going to get mad at us like he wasn't dogging it and not doing what he's supposed to be doing when he was here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dude, I see you in Orlando. I see what you're doing. You wasn't doing that when you was here. That's why you was traded.
It's like had you
been playing like that, you would have still been on this team.
Right. You couldn't pay Markin and go dunk on somebody. He was right. He was by the 3-point line the whole time. Now he's over there Utah dunking.
Yeah, he's over there killing it, man. Made his first All-Star team. I was happy that he made it, Laurie. But you know, I don't know if it's the aura of the Bulls or what it is, but when players play here, man, they just act like they nervous and they shoot up and they scared and they tight up and they're too tight out there and everything not loose. I don't know what it is, man.
Well, but
these players want the other teams and then show different sides of themselves.
I'm going to tell you the reason why those players we just named are doing well on the other teams. It's culture. It's culture.
You might be right about that.
You know, so.
You keep forgetting about that coaching factor.
Yep.
I mean, you got to wonder, too, if we was to get rid of the coach, would everybody play the way they're supposed to play on this squad and wouldn't be complaining about Vooch and wouldn't be complaining about Pat? You know, would we have these same complaints if we had a different coach?
It all depends on what coach. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, now that you mentioned it, I'm thinking when last time Jim Boylan had to, you know, even though he was hot garbage, but – the team that Jim Boylan took over,
mm-hmm.
they played their ass off more for Jim Boylan than this team is doing right now for Billy Donovan.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Jim Boylan had a shot in hell of actually being our main head coach, but they still went out there. They might have lost a lot of games, true enough, down the stretch, but they made a competitor. They played hard. These cats here, man, it's like, I don't know, man. This is like remedial.
Yeah, man, it's wild, man. It's like they're struggling to beat literally every team. Right. It doesn't matter who it is. It could be the Clippers. It could be the Jazz. It could be the Young Rockets. It could be Orlando. And it's been Orlando. We've struggled against Orlando a lot. It could be Charlotte. It could be Brooklyn without any star. It doesn't matter, bro. It's always a tight game with every single body. And that just tells me the problem is us. And I don't understand why. I said this on Bullseye Group, man. I don't know if you've been reading some of my comments on the page.
Mm-hmm.
Also, fans, like and subscribe to this channel. Also, join us on the Bullseye Group sometime on Facebook. We get some good Chicago Bulls discussions on there, on that platform on Facebook. Over 3,000 members, and we really have a good time over there. But I told one of the fans, they politicking for John Wall and posted a post, and I was glad that they posted a post on the platform for the first time. But I'm like, why would you want John Wall? Explain to me how he makes us better. I know he's a good player, but you need defenders and you need rebounders. You don't need scorers. How much scorers you want? You got Vooch, a double-double guy, could score 20 and 15. You got DeRozan, could drop 30 at the dime of a hat. You got Zach that could give you 40 on multiple occasions. What more do you want as far as scoring? It ain't the scoring. If I could drop 130 and my opponent could drop 130, then where's the win at?
These are the same guys that wanted and argue. Some guys are arguing with me about choosing Russell Westbrook over Pat Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And you see right now, they still haven't won with Russell yet. And I watched a couple.
0-4, I believe.
Yeah, I watched a couple of the games. It's folks are too fixated on names, big names, big name. But you got guys who've been cancer to these teams. There's a reason why there's you got your James Harden and you got your Russell Westbrook, John Wall, who got a whole hell of a lot of talent. But these guys may not never win a title because they're chemistry killers. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You can't really just get fixated on names. It ain't like you got LeBron or you got Giannis. You know, there's different tiers to these superstars. Yeah, they all big names. People go pay to see them. But they have different tiers because you got those who are champions. You got those who just talent as hell but just got issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to prevent them from getting a championship. So we got to start thinking, get out our feelings about the names and think about somebody who's actually going to be a great fit, who can actually help the team out in different ways.
Man, you set a mouthful right there, man. Like, you know, it don't have nothing to do with the names. It got to be a matching style. Same thing I said earlier, you know, and nothing against John Wall. But I think he's going to end up going back to Washington, man. When I seen Washington as a possible candidate, I said, yeah, he's going to probably end up going back there because I don't think he ever wanted to leave there.
Shit, that's going to help them out, too, if he stays healthy. Because, you know, they already got Porzingis and Beal and Kuzma. So that could be their missing piece right there to separate themselves from us.
Yeah, you know? Man. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little Ja Morant, and then we're going to also close out the show right after this.
The Bulls Guys podcast can now be heard and followed on all social media platforms. Follow us on YouTube, IG, Facebook, and Spotify. The Bulls Guys podcast can now be heard on YouTube. Get all your latest news, debates, rants, right here on the Bulls Guys podcast.
Back on the Bulls Guys podcast. So, man, on a side note from Chicago Bulls basketball.
Ja Morant.
Something that really shocked me, man, because I had some situations, and we've been talking lately to talk about my situation with a firearm that I had. Mm-hmm. But, man, seeing him go through this, I just, in my mind, I'm like, what was he thinking to do something like that, man? Like, what did he think was going to happen? What did he think the repercussions was going to be? You know, these people that own these social networks don't play fair, especially with us. Mm-hmm. And they're not going to let him do something like that and get away with it. You know, they're going to punish him hard and swift.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought this up, K-Dub, because I meant to bring this up our last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following this story because this is like the third incident I heard that he had since this summer. Because, you know, he got the first one. He had a issue with security mall guys at the security, you know, the mall and the security. Also with the you know, pulling the gun out on a 17-year-old at his house over a pickup game. Wow. You know what I mean? And this incident here, I think he, I know the Grizzlies are being looked at as the little brothers of the league, because I know Draymond getting in with Dylan Brooks, and you know they trying to fit this whole bad boy image, but they haven't won anything. It's like they trying to prove themselves, you know, to the league, and they're going about it the wrong way.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And I heard John Morant, he ain't even about that life. You know what I'm saying? His family ain't, his parents ain't about that life, never been about that life. So it's just like he's trying to fit in. I mean, his dad, you know, his dad is in his corner, but he needs somebody who actually can talk to his brother. Like, look, dude, right now you can be the face of the, you can be the face of the league. You know, you guys got a hot team. You guys are up and coming in a tough Western Conference. You know, you got mass skills, but don't be like, you know, who's it? Allen Iverson, when he first came into the league, how they was trying to blackball him, you know what I'm saying? The court troubles and stuff. Say, don't be like that, man. So, yeah, they, it's messed up. Yeah, they will punish him. I think he's actually, once they tie on all three of those incidents, I think they're going to probably suspend him more games. I just hope he don't, I just hope his career don't, you know, take a spiral downfall because of this.
It is, man. It is, but luckily for him, he's still young. He got a full career ahead of him to offset this image. And, you know, listen, he's one of the greatest players in the league right now. And, listen, I would put him as one of the MVP candidate this year. I mean, and the crazy thing is, this incident is probably going to hurt him from achieving that. Mm-hmm. But the Golden State Warriors last year, I thought they could have beat Golden State if he was healthy.
Yeah.
So when I see these two teams play against each other, and I've seen a lot of them, their games against each other this year, they lose because they lose their mental. Yeah. And Golden State is mentally stronger than them in the tight moments. And they get involved in arguing and fighting and being distracted at what Draymond Green is saying. And they lose focus and they let the Golden State Warriors get in the head. And I think the Warriors use that tactic because they know they can't match up against these guys.
Yeah.
That was a legit convincing of me last year that they could have beat the Warriors last year.
Yeah.
They blew them out without Ja Morant. Beat them by 40, I believe, one game in that series. So, yeah, if they could get their focus together and they can, you know, have a goal for themselves and really tune in and tune all the other nonsense and bullshit out, they can beat the Warriors. The Warriors on the downfall. They can't even stay healthy.
Right.
They don't even look like the same Warriors team, bro, to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, if they can, if the Grizzlies can get some good veterans, man, because they're a young team, man. It's like damn near the whole team is young. I think the oldest person might be Steven Adams. You know what I mean? So, yeah, if they can get some more veterans, man, that could say, hey, look, man, y'all going about this the wrong way. Y'all got to have that one or two key veterans, you know,
to have that same Patrick Beverley effect that he had with the Bulls.
Exactly. You're going to need somebody like that. And you're right, with the Warriors, man, they know that this team is scrappy. Yeah, they're going to get in their head mentally. And that probably, I'm sure that's probably Steve Kerr's game plan. Hey, you know, Draymond going out there, get the Dennis Rodman and stir him up a little bit, you know, then we got this game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this all remind me of Gilbert Arenas, you know, that John Morant thing.
Oh,
Gilbert Arenas and Crittenton.
Yeah,
teammates don't put in guns on each other, so you see what happened to him.
Yeah, he locked up, man. I think he killed somebody. He got life or something like that.
Yeah, Crittenden. Yeah, he did, and you know Gilbert just ain't been playing since. Yep.
Man, I forgot the story. Like I think he killed a woman or something like that.
Yeah.
Don't get me the line, man, because I don't remember Bulls fans. I'm sorry, but I know he shot somebody and he's right now Tavares Crittenden, right?
Yep.
And that was a big story, man. But we're gonna wrap up the show, man. On a losing note, man. And you know, I hate losing to the Pacers, man. They're one of those teams that I hate losing to. They're up there. The Cavs are up there. Who else is up there? The Washington Wizards. It's a lot of teams. The Knicks. The Wizards. Hawks. Yeah. it's a lot of teams I hate losing to, and Indiana is like at the top of that list of teams I hate losing to. And it should damn well they beat us 100 times, so you can understand why I probably don't like them that much.
Yep.
And that playoff series back years ago with Derrick Rose, man, in his MVP year, when we played against them, they was being physical, trying to injure Rose. And
yeah,
we already know about the famous Game 7 with Michael Jordan and Reggie Miller in that Game 7 in 1998 Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
So the Bulls and Pacers got a lot of history against each other, man. But, you know, I'll wrap it up. You know, hopefully we can get the next game, man. Then final thoughts, Kotaka, on tonight's game.
Yeah, man, I'm looking at this Western name, man, and now Indiana and us are tied. Man, Bulls, we got to change, man. We got to step it up and take it one game at a time. But you got to beat the teams that is around the same fight as you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you gotta go in just game by game. But you can't lose any more of these games, man, because we have what, 16 games left, 15.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
All right, go Bulls. Thank you for joining us tonight. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel. Follow us on YouTube, Instagram, and all social media networks, including Twitter and Facebook. Good night, Chicago. Go Bulls. Yeah.
Go Bulls.
Unfiltered and unbiased, the Bulls Guys Podcast. The Bulls Guys Podcast gives Bulls fans the latest Bulls news, rants, and information that they can't find anywhere else. Catch K-Dub and Kotaka on the Bulls Guys Podcast. Thank you.